You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Good evening, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver, UBC. My name is Simon Welton, and coming up in the next half hour is the White Noise Show. That's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by, as always, a half hour of discussion and music, hosted by myself, and this week joined by the lovely Connor Neckleput. How you doing, Connor?
Thank you, Simon. Very kind.
All right, so yeah, before we have our little chit-chat, though, of course, it is time for the White Noise Show. And don't forget, if you want to keep up with us during the week, make sure you check out the best of White Noise at whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. And of course, you can keep up with us on Facebook and Twitter at White Noise UBC. But without further ado, it's time for some White Noise. Warning. The following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight's show is brought to you in part by Jeb Bush. It's all the crap you hated about George W., but now he speaks Spanish. First up tonight, women are talking.
I just simply love this new microbrewery that opened up by my house. They give you so many options of how to get drunk. They have raspberry beer, blueberry beer, Drew Carey Berry Beer.
What's Drew Carey Berry Beer like?
It's not that bad, but it's not really anyone's favorite. They also have stouts, IPAs, NWAs.
What's an NWA?
It's one of those that sounds quite hardcore when it was released, but now it seems quite tame.
Well, when you've finished enjoying that place and you feel like a bag of smashed assholes in the morning, you must go to the new artisan cafe that opened by the train station.
Oh, why's that?
The espresso is to die for. I had 4 shots the other morning, and then I got bored waiting for the train, so I jogged to work.
Oh, wow, that does sound good. Do they have seasonal pumpkin spice lattes?
Yes, but they're so ahead of the times that they only sell them in June. The cakes are delicious, too. Yes, anything you make at home tastes fresher and is more satisfying, but what's the point of anything if no one is watching? Have you found any hot spots lately, Kelly?
Yes, actually. They just opened the most fabulous dispensary by my house. The selection is divine, and the quality is, as those in the know say, some real gangster shit.
You mean marijuana, Kelly?
Yeah.
Would you mind not discussing your addiction in front of us? It's tasteless and it makes us both feel uncomfortable.
Ah, is that the kettle calling the pot black? Yes, of course it fucking is. Next up tonight, somebody needs a little group therapy.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got a new member in our group today. This is Ken. Introduce yourself, Ken.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ken, and I'm 34, and I recently came to terms with the fact that I am an asshole.
And what makes you realize this, Ken?
Well, I hit rock bottom last week when I was walking downtown, and a man fell off his bike in a crowded street, and I started laughing hysterically. I was the only one.
We've all been there. What else have you done?
Well, whenever I eat fast food, I take 6 napkins. Who needs 6?
I see.
It gets worse. I haven't recycled since 1997.
Ken, you seem to be on the asshole spectrum, but not at the severe end of being a piece of shit. I think you qualify perhaps as just a bit of a dick.
No, I'm an asshole. I put cartons back in fridges empty. I never replace the toilet roll. I don't even think of my order before I get to the front of a lineup.
We feel your pain, Ken, but these people have real problems. John over there hasn't used a coaster since 1983. Dylan has been blaming his farts on his children since they were born. Dana over there owns 8 dogs, and she never once picked up their shit on walks.
I don't like how it's all warm.
Oh, I had no idea.
This is good, though. You're one of the treatable ones. Most of these people are here due to a court mandate. You came here willingly.
Well, I mainly came here for the free coffee and donuts.
Everyone is a bit of a dick sometimes. Just make sure no one notices. Next up tonight is a writer's Q&A panel.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Authors Without Borders. Or Chapters, or Colds, because they all shut down. Tonight's panel is the author of Harry Potter and some other books no one can remember, J.K. Rowling. Celebrated satirist and nasal-speaking enthusiast, David Sedaris. And author of Wealth of Nations, The Theory of Moral Sentiment, and his new autobiography, Being Alpha, it's Adam Smith. First question, please. You, in the wizard's hat.
Hi, my question is for J.K. Rowling. Where did you get the idea for Harry Potter?
My head?
Next question. You in the white wig. Hi, this question is for Adam Smith. Are you pleased that your theory of capitalism is now the leading philosophy of economics in the Western world?
What are you on about? Do you really think this is what I was talking about? Fuck no! Never heard of a subprime mortgage when I wrote that. And I clearly state in Wealth of Nations that businessmen are about as trustworthy as Lance Armstrong.
Well, next question. You in the hot pants.
My question is for Mr. Sedaris. Mr. Sedaris, how do you write such fascinating anecdotes at a constant pace?
Well, it's quite simple, honey. Lie through your teeth. Just make it hilarious.
Waving the wand and riding a broomstick. Hi, my question is for David Sedaris. Can you come and read me a bedtime story tonight, please?
Can you give me a twirl?
Sure.
Yes, I can.
You in the back with the hairy lip.
Hi, my question is for J.K. Rowling. If you could be any Harry Potter character, who would you be?
That's easy. Lord Voldemort, and I would have killed that whiny idiot the first time.
Next question. You, the Donald Trump lookalike. This is for Adam Smith. Obviously, America is the greatest country in the world. But besides getting rid of the Mexicans, how would you improve it?
Thank you for that loaded question, my good friend. Might I say, what a lovely piece of roadkill you have atop of your head. To answer your question, my one biggest change I'd make is this. Remove inheritance. No more sucking on mummy's teat when you're past 21. I clearly state in the Wealth of Nations that wealth being passed from generation to generation is bollocks. This is the same bullshit the monarchists have been pulling for thousands of years. People like you wouldn't start with daddy's millions. You'd have to graft. Perhaps then you'd realize there's more to life than being a bigot.
Hey, Smith, why don't you suck my laissez-faire balls?
That's all the time we have for today. You don't have to go home, but please, fuck off.
As Chomsky said, we are meant to revere Adam Smith, but not actually read him. Next up tonight, Carl and Neil are back. All right, Carl, I've got a plan. Grab a shovel.
Hang on. I'm not being tricked into picking up your dog's poo out the garden again.
I don't have a dog.
What?
Never mind that. I've got a real plan. We are going grave robbing.
Who are we going to sell a grave to? I don't know anyone who's dead.
It's what's inside we want.
What, maggots?
No, jewellery, heirlooms.
What about zombies?
That is a chance we're just going to have to take.
This is really hard work.
Well, I didn't know the gate was locked. We'll be under the wall soon.
Which one should we try?
Look for an expensive-looking headstone.
This one looks pretty good. It's got a rich-looking bearded guy on it.
That's Jesus, Carl.
I bet he's got some good heirlooms with him.
Shut up. Just, look, let's do this one. He was dead at 65, unmarried. He must have loads of money. Start digging.
You do it.
But then who's going to be the lookout?
Fair enough. I've got a stitch to heal. Please, let me have a rest.
Already? You barely dug a molehill.
I'm knackered from digging under that wall. You do it, you lazy bastard.
Fine, give it here. I don't know what you're complaining about. This is easy. You are the laziest git I have ever had the Oh, God, I think I'm going to be sick. Forget it. I didn't get in a crime to work hard. Don't rob graves, kids. Rob banks. Much more sanitary. Next up tonight, a couple are struggling to cope.
You can hear him through the wall, Tom.
I know. He was in the bathroom for 20 minutes last night with his laptop.
Yeah, he tried to tell me he was keeping an eye on the curling match.
It definitely sounded like someone was hurrying hard. It's making him unsociable, too. He hasn't sat with us for dinner since we went out to celebrate Jennifer's Victoria's Secret modeling contract.
Even then, he just spent the whole time taking pictures and dropping his fork under the table. Well, it can't go on. No amount of fabric softener is getting his socks decrustified.
Ew. Well, he's your dad. You talk to him.
It's awkward to think of your parents having sex. Nah, I can't stop thinking about it. Shit. Next up tonight, a brand new reality show.
From the people who brought you reality show hits, such as Property Brother Robbers, Feel or No Feel, and The Biggest Boozer, is the new show Family Feudal, where families must live as if it were feudal England circa 1066. Here's your host, Lord All the Money of Chelmsford.
Good evening, and welcome to Family Feudal. I'm Lord All the Money,
And my first family of contestants tonight are the Aldermans from Langley, British Columbia. They are Father Harry, Mother Patricia, and conjoined sons Liam and Larry. Hello to you all.
Hi!
So, Patricia, what made you decide to take part in our little experiment?
Well, I just know how much healthier everyone was back then, before industrialization created disease and obesity in epidemic proportions. I mean, just look at how fat my kids are.
I won't argue with you there. Our other family this week are the O'Neills from Sudbury, Ontario. They consist of Dad, Eric, Mother, Karen, and their only daughter, Precious. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
So, Eric, what possessed you to want to live in squalor for the next 6 months?
Well, you should see where we're living now. This is going to be awesome. I will be just like Nick Offerman.
Karen, one follow-up question. Do you fear this experience might scar your daughter, Precious, for life?
No, I'm sure it'll be fine. It won't even affect her education because we homeschool her.
Of course you do. Well, both teams have been assigned their plot of peasant land and a shack to live in. We will be back to see how the first few weeks went. I'm here in the Alderman residence. How are things going, Patricia?
Okay. The boys aren't doing so well. I didn't realize they didn't have kidney dialysis in 1066. They aren't impressed.
And how is the farming going?
All right. It hasn't rained and we haven't figured out how to create an irrigation system from scratch, so we are now doing rain dances at regular intervals. We have worked out which berries are not poisonous, but that is a small consolation for the death of my husband.
Let's check in with the O'Neills. How are you doing, guys?
Pretty good. I got pneumonia last week, but these leeches seem to be working.
Any surprises for you so far?
Well, nobody told me about this Prima Nocta thing.
Yes, sorry about that, but chin up.
Well, I didn't think it would be me that you had sex with.
Well, don't act like you didn't have a good time. One last thing, it is the end of the month, so you owe me 50% of everything you have grown or earned, as this land is all mine.
Well, have you got a knife? Because then I can give you half of the one turnip I grew.
Let's just put it on the tab. That's all the time we have for this week. Next time, we will see how the Aldermans and O'Neills are doing. Will they survive, or will they succumb to the syphilis I've given them? Join us for another edition of Family Feudal.
Oh dear, I don't think I would volunteer for that. I don't think they had Valium back then. Next up tonight, we return to the Ordinary Gentleman.
In a city you've never heard of, in a county you've... Oh, forget it. It's four old farts sitting in a pub, but one's dead, all right? Begin.
I can't believe it.
I know, it's a disgrace. What's a rubbish buffet?
Shut your greedy face, Steve. Have some respect. Arthur's dead.
At least he had a wife when he passed.
I bet she wasn't impressed when that stripper knocked on her front door to tell her he had died.
I would have done it if we hadn't been still asleep in that strip club.
Well, those corner booths are very comfy. And it was after 9:30. What did you expect?
So, who wants dibs?
I'm not doing any more drugs with you. Last time we did that speed your grandson gave us, I played 18 games of bingo simultaneously, and I got a 6-month ban from the Royal Legion. The old ladies were about to riot.
No, not drugs. Dibs. As in, who wants a first go at Arthur's widow?
You sneaky git. Arthur's body is barely cold and you want to cop off with his missus?
What the hell is the point of waiting? I could be dead tomorrow, so I might as well bed today.
He has a point, Ken.
I called dibs.
You can't. I did.
No, you didn't. You said, who has dibs? I call dibs.
Hey, no! Get out of your way!
Piss off! She's mine!
I should have her. I'm the most desperate.
Who cares? Arthur was my friend the longest. He would want me to bang her.
Let's ask her.
Fine.
Susan?
Yes, Errol?
We were wondering if you would like to have dinner with any one of us, you know, to keep your company in Arthur's absence.
Sure.
Which one?
Well, I'm having dinner with Neil from the corner shop Friday, Mike from salsa class Saturday, and Tim from the bank on Sunday. So I could fit you guys in next week sometime. Just ring my assistant.
Wow, you're keeping busy.
Are you trying to say something, Ken?
Well, it's just a bit... Tartish.
I'm 84. The time for pretending I have the libido of a nun is past. As they say, get it while you still can.
Ew. Next up tonight, Elvis is back.
Good evening, Elvis. This week, we are pairing you with our Russian undercover spy, Grigory Rasputin.
Who the hell is that?
Rasputin was confidant to the Russian Tsar before he fell from power in 1917. Since then, he's been fighting Russian communism as a United States spy.
Huh. Is he any good?
One of the best. He's completed 18 assassinations, 14 intel reconnaissance missions, and he was the one who stole Tetris for us.
Anything else I should know?
Apparently he has a massive dong.
Right on.
Your mission will be to work together to penetrate the defenses of Vladimir Putin's residence and steal a precious item.
What's the item?
His miniature Pomeranian, Fufu.
You want me to steal a dog?
Absolutely. His removal could destabilize Russia. Our intel reveals Putin can't sleep without his Fufu. It could completely ruin his bedtime and bring down his entire oligarchy.
Time to close some puppy dog eyes.
Rasputin, meet Elvis Presley.
Hello, so good to meet you finally, Mr. Presley. I am big fan.
You like my music?
Do I like it? I have named 12 illegitimate children after you. Moscow is full of little Elvises and Ellies.
Right on.
All right, guys, we are near the drop zone. You guys today are in a tandem jump because otherwise Elvis might kill himself.
That was one time.
Clear to drop.
Go, go, go!
Hallelujah!
Party time!
I think that's the house. Over there.
Yes, I see it. The one with a Putin's face painted on the roof.
Nah, man. The one next to it, with the mural of him with his shirt off.
Ah, of course!
Aim for the roof.
KK, pulling the cord.
Oh, that always smites.
Oh, tell me about it. It gets me excited to hot a rush.
Yeah, well, I just hope that's your flashlight I can feel in my back. So how the hell do we get in? It's like Fort Knox, man.
There is actually probably more gold in here than Fort Knox. Except here, it has been shaped into tacky shit.
Sounds like my kind of place, man. So how do we get in?
Oh, here we go. Someone left the fire door propped open.
Well, it's true what they say. Smoking does kill you.
Putin's private quarters should be somewhere over here. Between the 18-lane bowling alley and the all-you-can-eat Sunday bar.
I have got to get to know this guy.
Ah, yes. Down here.
Oh, someone's coming.
Leave it to me.
Da?
I said leave it to me!
Relax, man. Another guard is bound to come. I made way too much noise. You can have that one. Kotam?
Mine.
Ah! Damn, you got some moves, my friend.
You live to be 146? You learn a thing or two.
Now, this is some digs, man. Hey, look, he's got a stuffed shaved monkey over here.
That's the body of Lenin.
Weird, man. I met him once. He did not look like this. This looks more like Ringo.
Could you look for the dog, please?
All right. Here, Fufu. Dinner time. I have some tasty lead for you.
Here it is. Quick, grab the bag. I will stuff it in. Come here, you little... Oh, it got me! Help! Elvis!
What?
It got my family jewels!
All right, let me shoot it.
No, don't shoot anywhere near my crook! Just punch it!
I can't punch a dog. I could shoot it, but I ain't gonna punch it. I'm not a thug.
Get off me, you furry demon!
What the guard?
Oh, crap!
Excuse me, old man. Why are you molesting my dog?
Ah, well, you see, Mr. Putin, me and Elvis here.
Who?
My associate, Elvis Presley, who's... What? Where the fuck did he go?
Unlucky Rasputin. Let's hope for your sake you live up to your reputation for the evasion of your own mortality. That's the end of our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, starring the voice talents of Connor Neckleput, Sierra Wiley, Caitlin Docking, Ashley Fallis, Door Tabby, Dottie Davis, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
All right, there you go. That was The White Noise Half Hour of Comedy. I hope you enjoyed that. Stay tuned now for The White Noise After Show featuring myself, Simon Welton, and special guest Connor Necklebutt. How you doing, Connor?
I'm doing well. Good show, as always.
You enjoyed that, did you?
Nah.
Yeah, love the sound of your own voice, do you?
No? Yes.
Well, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's why you're an actor.
Let's not call each other names, shall we? Let's keep it tame.
All right, let's play a song and we'll come straight back.
Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar, the human serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
All right, there you go. That was US Girls with Damn That Valley. And before that was 1977 with We Do, We Do. I think that's how they would have said it. What do you think, Connor?
Oh, no, you're the expert.
I'm the expert. Oh, yeah, sure. All right, so we are doing the after show, which is not Connor singing, thank God. What we're going to do tonight is our chit-chat session where we talk about some of the things that came up in the episode. If you do have any questions for us, it is myself, the creator, Simon Welton, and our main man, Connor, over here, who does some fabulous voices.
Simon Welton.
I like that. I think it's a good title.
It'd be a great rap name, Simon Welton, the creator. I think it'd be quite original, actually. I'm not sure any other rappers have a name like that. I don't know why you'd be a rapper. I just
maybe because it sounds kind of arrogant. Maybe they were just like, no, man, I'll get you stabbed.
Maybe you're trying to compare yourself to Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very Kanye West name, the creator.
To be fair, your hair is not nearly long enough.
I know, I shaved
it. Well, those sandals are just as fashionable.
Well, as no one can see what I look like, let's move on from that. Let's go on to my first question for you tonight, sir. Oh, by the way, let me finish what I was trying to say because Connie interrupted me, which was, if you have any questions, if you have any questions for us, send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. Anything about the show, about what we do here, how we do it, or if you just want to tell us what you think of it, whether good or insulting, I don't care. Send it in. It's whitenoiseubc@gmail.com. But without enough of that rubbish. First question for you, sir. Would you go to group therapy, and what would it be for?
Well, if you're asking me if I'd go to a group therapy for an addiction to supremely erotic and reasonably exotic tall people pornography of the softcore variant, then my answer would have to be no, I wouldn't.
No?
If you'd suggest I should go to group therapy for an addiction to sleeping more than I'm actually awake on a day-to-day basis, then I'd say yes, but I'd probably also sleep through it.
So it wouldn't be much use in the...
Perhaps not.
Bloody useless you are. I mean, they're trying to save you with this group therapy and you can't even be bothered to show up.
Well, let's turn the tide on this. Would you go to group therapy to treat addiction for supremely erotic and reasonably exotic tall people softcore pornography?
Depends who else is there, I guess.
Well, I'm not gonna be there.
Reasonably tall people who enjoy softcore pornography, I might find some friends. Might find a few like-minded souls.
You might, but you also might turn up and you're the only one there. And think of that shame.
Oh, but then you get a group session rate you get a private session for the group session rate, which is always a bargain. Doesn't matter what you're doing.
You also get all the donuts and free coffee.
Yeah, so hell yeah, I'm turning up for that individual softcore porn addiction. Sounds quite fun.
Yeah, it's actually quite erotic.
Excellent. All right, my second question for you, sir, is when is a dick an asshole? That was brought up in our show today. The gentleman went to Assholes Anonymous. So when is a dick an asshole?
When it's inverted?
Well, no, it's a vagina. If a dick's inverted, then it's a vagina. Because that's how you do a trans operation, is you split the penis in half and invert it to create feeling within the vagina walls.
I'm not an expert on that, and it sounds like you are.
I saw a documentary. I think it was Showtime Friday night. But
Dr. Simon Welton performs surgery.
Surgery's fascinating. I'm sorry, but cutting people up and changing stuff is just fascinating. Like, I went to the Animals Inside Out exhibit this week in Vancouver, which is where they take animals and remove their skin for human pleasure, so we can check it out.
Simon Welton is the next last king of Scotland.
They put some facts on the wall just to make it seem less mental, but it is fascinating. I mean, they had an entire giraffe with no skin on in the building. They had a giant bull. Like it was
bullocks.
It was worth a visit. I mean, it wasn't cheap, so, you know, read everything, because you're only in there for about an hour and a half, and it's $20 for student, like $30 for regular, so make sure you get your money's worth. But, yeah, that wasn't a bad... It was actually used as a first date by me, so I thought that wasn't a bad choice.
Dating advice with some.
So, if she likes seeing things with no skin on, she's a keeper. That's my tip of the day. All right, so...
I'm a necrophiliac.
We had the authors session today, which I quite enjoyed. Bit of surrealism.
Yeah, you
there.
Wrote it. But to be fair, though, it is, I like it. I think it is a good sketch.
Yeah, and sometimes I write them and I do not like them, but I've run out of time and then something's going to go on the air. So this time... It happens. It's sketch, man. It's sketch. It's a hit, miss. That's how you set them up. But anyway, yeah, no. So my question for you, not going to be boring, because the boring question is, who's your favourite author? Good question. Who's your least favourite author? Who do you put in a room 101 when you say, I'm never reading him again?
Between three or just of any author ever?
Somebody that you... Because I'm sure there's someone that comes to mind, you're like, oh, dear God, no, please, no more.
Of the three, I don't really have a preference. I like Harry Potter. I'm not going to throw J.K. Rowling in there. Dave Sedaris. Adam Smith. I would love him. Because I think you put him in a good way. I think, actually, he's misquoted, misrepresented in our modern era.
The thing with all ideology, I believe, is that, you know, it's meant to come from a place of wanting to make the world better. So when that ideology is bastardized and used for, you know, to make things better for only a very few, that's never the intention usually of the original idealist. You know, the point always is he thinks that's the best form of society for everybody, not just for the few. So that's, you know, that to me is why, of course, there's going to be some... He's not going to be happy with the way things are.
And I think actually that touches on lots of things as well, because, I mean, a lot of ideologies, even modern ones, are rooted in traditional or older... centuries old, sometimes, ideas. And to me, the idea of language, I mean, you can obviously pinpoint certain words for which the definitions change over time, but you write something down in a certain way with certain circumstances, and then when people look at that years later, centuries later, and try to reimagine it for their own era, the words, they might still be for the most part the same, but they're still a different context. They still don't mean the same thing. I think that's what gets lost a lot in trying to pull out of old ideas, which may have been grand ideas at the time, and put them in a modern setting, because the way we think is influenced so heavily by that, but still so different, the way we see things.
Well, I do agree with you that I think what is important when looking at any philosophy or anything is looking at the context of what it was said in and why perhaps it was said because of factors within the context, and taking that into account when assessing it. It is tough. But I think we also have to be careful not to assume that we're so much different from people 2,000 years ago, because 2,000 years is not a long time in our evolutionary cycle, in that our brains haven't changed that much in 2,000 years. They really haven't, so...
It's actually stunning the similarities you can pull from civilizations even older than that, even like 2000 BC, 4,000 years ago. That some of the things we do and they do are actually so similar still.
Well, yeah, you read any Plato, it's the same, you know, same human foibles that we see in today's society. It's, you know, the same egoism. It's all that same crap, but everyone's wearing togas. It's definitely worth the read if you haven't read it.
And that's the way we're moving. We're moving to a more...
We're not going to togas, because that sounds very frattish. And I don't think I'd look good in the toga.
It really does, but think about it conceptually, though. I think we're going towards an era, 1600s, 1700s, people wearing large, over-top, grandiose, thinking aristocracy, but still, outfits. And now we're moving towards a more liberalisation of the way we dress ourselves and the way we can show our body how we want, and we can perform our identities on a day-to-day basis. I think in sort of... coming up in the next couple of generations, with a continuing liberal trend, which I always see, because things always, at this point, there's a golden era, sort of. I mean, there's not a lot of war.
No.
Things will continue to sort of liberalise that, and actually we'll start wearing less clothes. And I don't mean that in, like, something we're wearing, walking around, like, our pants and bras and bits and pieces, but, like, actually something that's reasonably, like, liberating, or easy to throw on.
Are you saying it's going to be sweatpants, and, like, we're all going to be wearing jogging suits? Like...
The only difference between now, in perhaps 50 years, and 200 BC... is the fact that women have more rights and they're going to go out and do a lot more stuff, which means yoga pants are going to stick around. Apart from that, the men are going to be like, well, I've worked out, whatever, shut off my arse, wear short shorts. And then they're going to go, oh, you know what, shower. What do you put on? What do you put on? That's nice, easy, you don't really care. You know, you're so liberal, you're so above all the sort of superficialities of what to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Throw a towel over, toga.
I disagree with you only because I'm sure there was some bloke sitting in a radio station in the 70s going, man, bell bottoms, they're never going out of style, man. Like, that's the future, man. Bell bottoms. All right, we're going to play a song and we're going to come back. Autumn, summer, winter, and spring. Change now.
to bike to pick her from school. He likes her cause she's pure. She likes him cause she's hoodie's cool. You're a giant. Twist my insides. You're a giant.
Friends, well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends on Commercial Drive, like 10% off at Stormcrow Tavern, High Life Records, Audio Pile, Mintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Yes, do. If you ever want to come hang out at CITR during the day, 9 to 5, the door's always open and everyone's dead welcome in, so definitely come check us out.
So everyone's dead when you welcome in?
They're dead welcome in, man. Yeah, sorry, that was just my bad English. all right, so I'm in the studio with Connor Neckleput, and we were talking rubbish as always. So my next question for you, sir, is so with the imminent legalization of marijuana, my question is, are we going to see the same sort of commercials that we allow now that glorify alcohol and drinking and talking about the good old days when Sleeman's was avoiding, you know, ignoring prohibition laws and, you know, so are we going to see pot adverts where they're like, ah, remember the days when us Kush Kings were out there giving you dime bags on a street corner? Weren't those the good days? Well, we're now totally legal and you can get as silly as you want. Like, is that the future, sir?
I think in many ways it will be. I mean, there's obviously, a trend. I mean, look at the tobacco industry, for instance.
Well, that's why I'm thinking tobacco, you can't do that.
Yeah, because I mean, that was obviously very popular for ages, and now only in the last maybe 30 years has it been sort of pushed to make it a bit more taboo, a bit more, not so open, not so public, because there are very serious health detriments.
But let's say with alcohol, you can. It's not much better than cigarettes. Yet we allow blatant and glorification sort of commercials. Though interestingly, North America has a problem where they do not allow you to show any commercials of people actually drinking booze. If you ever watch adverts here with booze, nobody ever sips it. But in Europe, you can do that. But they have the opposite rule, which is you can show someone drinking it, but do not at all sort of make it seem that by drinking, you will get any sort of sexual gratification or any sort of sexualization of alcohol is completely illegal in England. So you couldn't have a beer advert where someone's dancing around in a bikini, but you can't have one of a guy going, yeah, beer. So, you know, I wonder if that will have an effect.
Yeah, well, I mean, you raise a good point in the fact that, I think because the trouble is that there still isn't a lot of good and accepted research on the marijuana use. There actually are a lot of studies with some results, but as a general sort of consensus, it's still, because I think it is still taboo. People don't want to publish things and go, hey, for the most part, it's actually really kind of all right. But while that remains sort of, I don't say biased, but while that kind of remains shrouded in that kind of is it or isn't it, when it seems like things are leaning towards it isn't like that bad for you compared to tobacco, compared to alcohol, not nearly as bad, it seems. So I think it's going to be funny because I think for a couple of years, it's going to be more or less legalized recreationally as it already is in some places. But you won't see it advertised besides on storefronts perhaps. But eventually, when the research does come out, and I do believe in many ways it's going to say, again, compared to alcohol and tobacco, tobacco is huge. It's kind of gone under the cush a bit now. Alcohol, I think, will always kind of, despite the detriments, it'll always be a bit of a cultural thing, certainly in the West. Obviously, other parts of the world, it's actually very frowned upon, in Muslim countries, for instance. I think in, 20 years, having lived in a society where it's actually, everyone smokes, and everyone who wants to smokes, no worries, cannabis or marijuana, I think we're going to see that happen, where it is going to be commercial.
Well, I think maybe the first thing will be what you see, which is still legal even with tobacco, is people that actually are dispensaries may have a bit more leeway in their advertising. Like, you can advertise as a liquor store as much as you like, and you can pretty much advertise as a tobacconist or a cigar shop. Like, that's not a big deal. So I think that sort of advertising may be easier to come by, but I don't think you're going to see big brand sort of adverts anyway, because we, for now, won't have that sort of branding.
You know? I was actually just about to say, because I mean, the thing you need for television or internet advertising is money, and a lot of the companies that do advertise online or on the TV are big brands. And so the fact that they have millions of dollars and thousands of dollars to put into those advertisements, whereas your typical dispensary, I'm not an expert because I don't smoke myself and I don't do a lot of my own research, but I believe they're more or less sort of privately owned to a degree.
Yeah,
they're not like part of a giant marijuana conglomerate.
No, yeah, just like when anything starts up, any new industry, no, of course you don't have conglomerates. I mean, you have the Hell's Angels right now and they've got a pretty good say in it, but I don't think they're going to be stretching their advertising
budget.
So
while it stays like that, I think we won't. I think we'll have to wait to see those really public ones. Obviously, yeah, you're right. Absolutely, from the dispensaries, on the street corners, maybe. No doubt, probably. Yeah. But on the television, on the, on the online. Although, interesting debate then, which spawns from that, is will we see ads on television more anyway? Because you think things like Netflix, you can pay a little bit extra to get ad-free television on your own terms. So will that even be a valid advertising stream in a couple of years from now is actually, I think, a very interesting question.
Well, one thing I think might change, which will be interesting, is that I think there may be more acceptance from major networks to have programming which talks about it and, doesn't glorify it, but doesn't sort of demonize
castigate
it either.
It, yeah.
Like, you know, like if you have, I could see that more, like CBC having a sitcom where people do smoke pot at some point and it wouldn't be, you know, that may be something we see if.
Yeah, it wouldn't be rebellious and it wouldn't be, as you say, glorifying. It'd just be doing casual things.
Yeah, just literally like people going for a drink in a bar. They might go to a, Amsterdam cafe style place and sit down and have a chat. Like, you know, why not? Okay, so we got time for one more question. So my one last question for you is, we had the third Republican debate tonight. I know you were all watching it with bated breath in Canada. Yeah, I know most of you don't care.
It's
but
difficult
it's
to
fascinating.
Watch about 20 million people in a room all spouting off the same rubbish.
Yeah, and it is just crazies having a shout on stage. So who doesn't want to watch that? So my question for you, sir, gun to your head, which candidate do you pick right now to run the country? You know, the Democrats have all been blown up. We've only got Republicans to pick from. You got to pick one. Who is it?
Well, yeah, gun to my head. Because I was going to say no vote, anarchy.
No, you have to pick one.
Absolutely, I'm fearing my life. And you know what? I'm going to give a stupid answer because I don't care. I just want my life to be reserved. I'm going to go with not Donald Trump, not Ben Carson, and not Jeb Bush, and not Mark Rubio. So of the remaining ones, whose names I don't know, one of them.
You do realize who you've left. You've got, like, Lindsey Graham, who is, just terrible.
Well, but that gets to my point. We'll be terrible, and then that, when the gun's away from my head, is when we overthrow the institution and, I guess you did say that the Democratic candidates have all been blown up.
So, for me,
what about you? Would you be my idol? I would support your campaign. would you rise to the challenge? And I will get you that. I'll get you all the way to the Oval Office. First British-born president of the United States of America. How would you feel about that?
Yeah, it literally couldn't happen.
You just had to overthrow someone with crazy ideas.
I
just had
to change their entire, like, I think it's in the Constitution or something. Okay, but my answer for this question would be a guy who isn't actually I don't think he's a bad guy. He's Republican, but I don't think he's that terrible. And that's Chris Christie, who is the senator of New Jersey.
Actually, I would vote for him, not because I don't know who he's voting, but actually I live in New Jersey, therefore hometown respect.
Okay, there we go. So we got a bit in. Yeah, that's a very New Jersey answer, that, I think. Yeah, you're like, yeah, New Jersey, man. Yeah, we'll pick him.
I can't do that for many states. And, you know, when in Jersey.
Yes, Connor generally does have an orange sort of glow to him. I didn't realize about New Jersey. I just thought he, like, cheesy puffs or something. So it's both. That does explain why you are so orange. But
it's actually a little bit of
Were you trying to think of something sort of medical to make me feel bad?
Yeah.
Nah, unlucky. You couldn't think of anything.
Jaundice!
Jaundice and sunburn together. There we go. That makes orange. All right. So that, unfortunately, is midnight. It is our time. We do have to vacate for nobody. So we're actually going to, I think, hang around for a little bit and play a couple of songs. But we won't probably talk anymore. You've heard enough already, I think. So enjoy the next couple of songs. And I hope to not hear or see you next week. I hope that you listen to us next week, which sounds so self-indulgent. But that's kind of how this works. So that's what we're hoping for. So please join us next week, 11 p.m, for another half hour of sketch comedy and another even more annoying half hour of talk and a bit of good music. So here's a bit more good music for you. This is Ra Ra with Fix Me.
Up next will be Willy's Wank Music.
That's an inside joke. I apologize. Just make me wanna do a drive.
Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on.
Do you fancy yourself as an artist, entertainer, or storyteller? Do you want to be the next Leonardo DiCaprio or Christopher Nolan? Well, the UBC Players Club would like to work with you. The Players Club is an ambitious amateur theater group and the perfect place to get involved in theater or gain more experience as an actor, director, designer, producer, or anything and everything else theater related. Our motto, Theater on Your Own Terms, means the club is entirely student run and formed around the ambitions of its members. Find us on Facebook or at ubcplayersclub.com.
She left me, and I don't blame her, 'cause I've been leaving her for years. She stuck with me for so long, but now my eyes are filled with tears, 'cause I did a good job making a good thing go wrong. Done a good woman so wrong for so long.